Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio. On May 9, 1800, in Torrington, Connecticut, the abolitionist John Brown is born. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History. On Friday, May 9, 1800, as a new century began, John Brown was born in Connecticut. He'd become a seminal figure in the events leading to the greatest struggle of that century, the American Civil War. A figure who styled himself as a biblical prophet, Brown embraced abolitionism in America with scriptural fervor and a not inconsiderable sense of his own agency in the struggle. In 1855, Brown led assaults on the houses of several men and their families who were officials of the territorial district court in the contentious territories of the American West. The bodies of the victims, five in all, were mutilated. Several had died of wounds inflicted when Brown and his company split open their skulls with broadswords. Bleeding Kansas became a national watchword. Then came the autumn of 1859, where, at Harper's Ferry, Virginia, Brown attempted to inspire a rebellion of the enslaved by seizing a federal arsenal. Brown saw visions others did not see, and believed that he could light a conflagration that would destroy slavery. "I expect nothing but to endure hardness," he wrote before Harper's Ferry, "but I expect to effect a mighty conquest, even though it be like the last victory of Samson." The last victory of Samson. The allusion was telling. In the book of Judges, Samson conquers in the last instance only in bringing about his own death. Blinded by the Philistines, Samson stands next to two pillars in a temple where his foes are gathered. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Late on the night of Sunday, October 16, 1859, Brown and his 20 or so Confederates captured the Federal Army and a nearby rifle factory at Harper's Ferry. Word of the attack, which failed to prompt a widespread or even a local revolution, brought a force of Marines from Washington under the command of Colonel Robert E. Lee. A brief assault ended the affair. One Marine was killed. Half of Brown's force was dead. Of the rest, seven, including Brown, were arrested, and five made their escapes. Brown was quickly tried, convicted, and hanged. The particular had universal implications. The Harper's Ferry raid itself was brief. Its power, it turned out, was not in the actual, but in the symbolic. From New England, Henry David Thoreau saw Brown as a noble martyr. "Some 1800 years ago, Christ was crucified," Thoreau wrote. "This morning, perchance, Captain Brown was hung. These are two ends of a chain which is not without its links." In Virginia, the Richmond Inquirer saw Harper's Ferry as the end of the Union. It wrote, "We must separate unless we are willing to see our daughters and wives become the victims of a barbarous passion and worse insult." On Capitol Hill, three Democratic members of a Senate investigating committee, Jefferson Davis of Mississippi, James Mason of Virginia, and Graham Finch of Indiana, sought diligently but unsuccessfully to find grounds to hold the Republican Party at large responsible for Brown's raid. Lincoln's White House secretaries and biographers John Hay and John G. Nicolay recalled. In December, Representative Reuben Davis of Mississippi put the question on the Southern mind, frankly, "Is it not time we were arming for our defense?" Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C-13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge and Chris Basil. Production assistance and operations by Paige Heimson, Andy Jaskowitz, Adam Macias, and Kelly Rafferty. Research assistance by Sarah Jean Caver. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.